The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." If only it were that simple. As a parent, I feel at times that parenthood is one long game of "I told you so." Child comes to me with an injury. My response is, if you had listened to me, that would not have happened. A child comes to me with an object that they broke, usually something belonging to their mother, and I say to them, "If you had listened to me, this would not have happened." A child comes to me telling me how they got in trouble, and my response is, "If you'd listened to me, this would not have happened." We could go on and on, and these are examples of just what a parent says not to do. Of course, a good parent also wants their child to listen to them so that they would flourish in life, not just to avoid the dangers, but to have access to a life in abundance. But what does it mean to listen to Jesus? That can mean different things to different people. First, we must unpack what is happening at the Transfiguration and what it's pointing to. Jesus is on a journey from this mountain to the cross. The culmination of the cross is for us God's desire to liberate all people. And in our gospel lesson, we hear of Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus about his departure, which he's about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, this departure might be better translated as Exodus. Sarah Heinrich reminds us that there are some parallels that we can make between Moses and Jesus. Both experience God's majesty. They're chosen but not given an easy passage. And the word Exodus can give us an image of the hardships that one endures under oppressive power. The connections with Exodus should give us hope. Hope that there is deliverance when we experience God in our midst. But Heinrich reminds us that Exodus from under the power of an oppressor has a cost. exodus under the power of any oppressor has a cost. The people of Ukraine can certainly relate to this heartbreaking reality at this time. In recent days, we've heard what the cost an oppressor brings. The fears that we've heard from parents and them taking measures to protect their children. Ukrainian leadership and civilians being prepared to stand up to tyranny. A Ukrainian archbishop gives an understanding of God's promise of experiencing an Exodus life in the midst of this current conflict, saying, God captures and overthrows the mighty of this world with their pride, the conquerors with the illusion of their omnipotence, the proud and insolent with their self-confidence. It is He who grants victory over evil and death. The victory of Ukraine will be the victory of God's power over the meanness and arrogance of man. So it was, is, and will be. Centered in the Word, the Archbishop shows us a real-world hope of Mary's Magnificat, how that can offer a promise to people living under oppression, and how even death will not separate them from the love of God. In the long run, tyrants do not win. Tyrants do not prevail. If only tyrants would listen to God's prophets of their day. So if we go back to the mountain, the voice that tells the three disciples to listen to Jesus implies that there are other voices to listen to in this world, some of which claim to be the very voice of Jesus, but corrupted and hijacked to push the agenda of tyrants and grifters in this world. This is the world that Coraline has been brought into. And as she enters the waters of baptism, she will be joined to Christ and brought from death to new life. The new life that she has in Christ, though, will still be filled with other voices in the world. Earlier in Luke's gospel, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." At baptism, when you look at this whole rite and ritual and the sacrament that we go through, that is essentially what God is saying to Coraline today. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. And one of the roles of the church is to enable her to listen to that voice, the voice of God that considers her beloved, that's pleased with her right now, and will always be pleased with her. See, we live in a society that's obsessed with the self. We're all defined by our hobbies and our work. We're defined by what we do. We're defined by what we produce. As Coraline grows up in this world, there will be voices that will cause her to question, what is she doing? What is she producing? And just like any of us sitting here this morning will wonder, am I just a product in this world? What is my worth? What is my value? Now, at this point in her life, I don't believe she's having any existential crisis of who she is, right? I don't think she cared about the outfit she put on this morning, right? Or that was put on her, I should say, right? But someday she will, because of those other voices in the world. Someday she'll doubt her worth by what she does and what she puts on. And I believe many of us wonder what our value is and how some in our society have responded, even amid a pandemic, to further question that. When our value is rooted in what we can produce, it became crystal clear through some voices in our society that we can disregard the lives of the elderly, children with underlying conditions, and the immunocompromised. Yet, when we listen to the voice of Jesus and we see people through the eyes of God, we are aware of their value and worth to the divine. Can we cultivate a life for Coraline and for all people to hear loud and clear that they are beloved by God? As we honor her particularity and the blessing that she is and will continue to be in the world, we also invite her to listen to the voice of Jesus and to follow Jesus, follow the way of Jesus, which also means that life is not always about her, but about others and all of God's creation. How will she be able to distinguish between the voices that call her to be loyal to other entities and people over God? How will she know if it's the voice of God or not? From this mountain, Jesus' departure or exodus is to take on the cross. And as he pursues the cross, he ministers to the marginalized along the way. Jesus demonstrates to the world that God's love culminates on the cross through sacrifice, not through power or violence. So when Jesus looks more like John Wayne and not the humble servant that gave his life on the cross, then it's probably not the voice of Jesus. When someone is telling you who to exclude rather than who to include, then it's not the voice of Jesus. When voices are trying to dehumanize and invalidate another human being, then we could be assured that it is not the voice of Jesus, because that would be a rejection of God's creation and the very persons created in the image and likeness of God. My hope for Coraline and all the baptized is that when we gather around word and sacrament, we would realize that God is bringing us up to the mountaintop, right? It's a mountaintop experience, that we would hear loud and clear the voice of God as we practice the faith. That in the word and proclamation of the gospel, in receiving the holy meal, the true body and blood of Christ, that we would always walk away with a sense that God loves us. That when we make a mistake, God forgives us. That when we find ourselves in times of despair, God is with us. That when we need to be sustained in life's journey through the ups and downs, God would feed us and nourish us. And when we come down from the mountain, that our attention would turn to our neighbor. Not a box checked off in fulfilling a religious obligation, not to retreat into a self-absorbed bubble, not to listen to the voices that will lead us astray in tuning out the voice of Jesus. But in listening to the voice of Jesus and following Jesus as we come down from the mountaintop with our God, that our attention would turn to those who need to hear and receive love in a world that has shunned them. To hear and receive love in a world that has told them they are undeserving of such things. Coming down from the mountain, Jesus casts out a demon from a child and gives him back to the Father. Doesn't that foreshadow what's to come? How Jesus will bring us all back to the Father. In holy baptism through those waters and through the promise that God makes to Coraline that we hear today, we rejoice in that word that she belongs to God forever. And some will say, what has she done? She hasn't done anything. That's the point. That's how amazing God's love and grace is. That's the point. We don't have to produce something for God to love us. That's what's so counter to the way of the world. With Coraline, we promise to work for justice and peace in all the earth. And as we come down from the mountain, may we cast out the demons such as racism, sexism, and materialism, nihilism, and others in the world. As we come down from the mountain, may we look at the oppressive systems and structures that would perpetuate hunger and poverty, demonic systems that even enslave and devalue people. As we come down from the mountain, may we cast out the demonic voices in the world that get us to question our self-worth. Because the good news is summed up in three words. God loves you. God loves you. This is the gospel. This is the promise that Coraline and all the baptized received. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. That's it. Not God loves you if. Not God loves you but. Not God loves you when. God loves you, period. Let us hear the voice of God that tells us this. Let us receive this amazing love from God and come down from the mountain to unleash that love in this world. This is how we stand up to tyrants and grifters and all the voices in this world that try to deceive us. Let us unleash, receive and unleash this love from God that provides, accepts, includes, and offers life in abundance to all people. A love that never dies, a love that never ends. Thanks be to God. Amen.